Samuel 7 this morning for our message, if we could. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Blessing to have everyone here, and it's exciting to open God's Word together. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. The Bible says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. It came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I'm going to title the message, Ebenezer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, if we go to your word, I pray you would use it in our lives today, that each of us would come with expectant hearts, push aside the distractions of life, and just hear from you and respond to the Holy Spirit as you use your powerful word in our lives today. We thank you for the privilege to be here. May our Savior Jesus Christ be lifted up and magnified. Meet with us now, we pray in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. So this word Ebenezer, he basically defined it there, but it means stone of help, or the Lord helps. And it's a great story, because we see one of the rare times during Israel's history after Egypt and so forth, and David, was a time when they actually listened to God's prophet and changed their ways and saw God bless them as a result. And what we find is that God is ready to help, but God expects from us obedience and service. And it starts with us. God is God. God is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God is powerful. God is able to do anything in our lives. But God is also holy and just. And God expects from us obedience. We're His children. He's given us everything in Christ. And Israel had already been, by the time this story took place, they had already been through many judges, many oppressions, over 300 years of these things, Samson being the last judge. And then God brought Samuel into the picture as a prophet leading Israel. They didn't have a king yet, and they actually listened for a change. And so Samuel came to them there in verse 3 and said, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. And he then, I believe, defined for them what that entailed and what it entails for us as well. If we want Ebenezer in our lives, if we want that stone of help, if we want God to be there for us, these are the things that He wants. Verse 3, put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you. Return unto the Lord. In other words, repent. Repent. It always starts with repentance. Get right with God. Come to God with a repentant heart, admitting that we're wrong, and agree, if you will, to put away the things in our lives that we know aren't supposed to be there. And that's where it began. If you do return, he says, then put away these strange gods. And what's exciting, if you look down in verse 4, they actually listened. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. So they listened and they put away these strange gods. It starts with repentance. If you would go over to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, keep your place here in 1 Samuel 7, and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul explains that this is a constant battle for us. Because the flesh is real and the flesh keeps getting in the way and causing problems. Notice in verse 27, Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. This is the great Paul speaking. He says, I have to keep under my body. I have to keep my body in subjection. Because it's always, the battle is always there. Romans 7, he details his own personal battle with the flesh. And then look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 while you're over in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because repentance is an agreement between us and God that we're going to change some things. And that's what they did. Samuel said, I want you to put these things away. And the people said, okay, we'll do it. We'll change some things. We'll put some things away that aren't supposed to be in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So again, if we're going to be a good soldier of the Lord, we need to put some things away. Not be entangled with the affairs of this life that are going to hinder us from being effective for the Lord. It always starts with repentance. And then, if you go on back to our passage, 1 Samuel 7, on down to verse 3, he said, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Repent and confess. It takes both. And that's exactly what the people did. Look at verse 6. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned. Those are very important words in the Christian life. I have sinned. I was wrong. We know as Christians, one of the secrets of the Christian life is to keep their short accounts with God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Samuel said, God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. But you've got to get right. You need to get rid of some things and you need to prepare your hearts. You need to get back with God and confess and spend time with Him. Go, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 28. And we'll see that this is one of the keys to maintaining that sweet fellowship with the Lord. Is to prepare our hearts before the Lord, to keep those short accounts. Notice Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Look at verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. As Jeremiah said, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your hearts. Samuel said, I want you to put the things away that shouldn't be there, and I want you to prepare your hearts before the Lord. If you want God's help, if you want God's presence, it's got to start with you. And it's true for us. I mean, God's there for us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. But if we're disobedient, the help isn't going to be there.
The guidance isn't going to be there. And so we need to repent and we need to prepare our hearts by praying and confessing before the Lord. And then, what does he say in verse 3 of our passage? Serve him only. It's really not complicated. Put away the strange gods, prepare your hearts, and serve him only. It all fit into one verse. And sure enough, it says in verse 4, that's exactly what they did. They did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord, look at that, only. Only. Well, the honest truth is, we as children of God, sometimes we're tempted to serve self, the world, even the devil if we're not careful. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If he truly is our Lord, then we should be following him. We should be obeying him. We should be serving him only. Go to John chapter 12, if you would, verse 26, where Jesus explains this for us. John chapter 12, verse 26. Jesus said, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Samuel said to God's people, "Put away the strange gods, prepare your hearts, and serve him only." God says to us the same thing. Say, "Well, we don't have any strange gods in our lives." Well, the last thing John said in his epistle in 1 John 5:21 was, "Keep yourselves from idols." You say, "Oh, well, I don't have any idols on my mantle at my above my fireplace." Listen, anything can be an idol. It doesn't have to be a piece of wood or a piece of stone. Anything that we put before God can be an idol. God says, put it away. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Get right with God. Pray and confess. And serve him only. Go to Colossians chapter 3, if you would, verse 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24, where again Paul explains to us why we're here. And that's to serve him. To serve the Lord. Colossians 3:24, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." We are here to serve the Lord Christ. Not ourselves, not the world. We're here to serve the Lord Christ. And the good news is, if we will follow these steps that Samuel laid out for us, then God will fight for us. God will be our help. Israel was in a state. They had been through 300 years of the judges and the falling and the judges and the falling. They were a mess by the time Samuel came on the scene. It had been a long time since they'd seen miraculous intervention from the Lord. This was one of the first times in decades that they had seen anything like this. And what made the difference? Verse 4, they put away Balaam and Ashtaroth. Verse 4, they served the Lord only. Verse 6, they gathered together, drew water, poured it out before the Lord, fasted on that day, and said, "There we have sinned." You can see the change in their hearts. They actually listened and responded to the Word of God. They changed their ways. They came before Samuel and said, "We want God's presence. We want God's help. And we were wrong. And we have sinned. And we're asking for the Lord's forgiveness." And of course, praise God, the God that we serve always forgives. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's based on His faithfulness and His justice. It's not based on us. He's always ready to forgive. And so immediately after this whole thing, we see in verse 7, here come the Philistines. You mean as soon as we try to get right with God, there's going to be a test? I guarantee it. That's the way it always works. As soon as you set out to get right with God, as soon as you set out to do something for God, the devil is going to try to stop you. That's just the way it works. There's always going to be those battles after you make a commitment. As long as you just want to sit there and do nothing for God and live in sin and not care about what God says, the devil doesn't care about you. He's not interested. But as soon as you say, you know what, I'm tired of this mediocrity, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. I'm going to let Him use me. Then the devil says, uh-oh. Got to slow that one down. And so verse 7, right after they make this great commitment and this confession unto the Lord, the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah. The lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid. They were afraid. But it's how they chose to respond. The children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Yes, they face this battle, this trial, but notice their response isn't like what they'd seen in the past. To go and grab Ashtaroth or Balaam and set up a grove and worship a false god, or to run to one of their judges and say, help us, lead us into battle. No. This time, they went to God's prophet, God's man Samuel, and said, please pray for us. Because God's in control. God's the one that can help us. We can't help ourselves. These Philistines can take us. But please pray. And so Samuel, verse 9, took a suckling lamb, offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. There it is. The Lord heard him. You know what the Bible says? It says that sin hinders our relationship with our Father. It says that when there is sin in our life that we're not dealing with, our prayers are hindered. Isaiah 59, turn over there if you would. Verse 1. And through the counsel of Samuel and through the repentant hearts of God's people, the hindrances were removed. Notice Isaiah 59. Behold, verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. That word will is the important word. It doesn't say He cannot hear. It says He will not hear. Why? Because of sin. They had taken care of it. They had removed it. They had removed the false gods. They had come before the Lord and said, we have sinned. We were wrong. And the Bible says, and they served the Lord only. And now when this big trial comes and they're about to be attacked by the Philistines, it says all the lords of the Philistines gathered everyone together. The Bible says when Samuel prayed, the Lord heard him. In verse 10, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered. I love that. They hadn't seen anything like this for a long time. The Philistines had defeated them over and over again over the past 300 years. This time it was different. This time they had gotten their hearts right. This time they had put away the false gods. And all they did was ask Samuel to pray. And when the Philistines attacked, the Lord says, well, this is my battle now. These are my people and they're right with me. Now I'm going to protect them. Before, He allowed them to lose the battle and lose the battle. But now they're right with God. The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. We're going to have afflictions. We're going to have trials. That's life. But when we're right with God, that deliverance is just waiting. And if you go to Isaiah 54, God talks about how He You know, we often forget this, but God has the power to protect us from anything. But we need to be right with Him. Notice Isaiah 54:17. The Bible says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Samuel took a stone and called the name of it Ebenezer, which means stone of help, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And he wanted the people to remember, whenever they saw this rock, remember they were forbidden forever setting up an altar, because they were always tempted to use it, but it was a rock. And he named the rock Ebenezer. And when the people saw the rock, they remembered, the Lord helped us that day. Under normal circumstances, based upon our past 300-year history, the Philistines would have defeated us that day and taken us away captive. But the Lord helped us. He thundered on that day, and He defeated the Philistines for us. What made the difference? Their behavior made the difference. They got rid of the false gods. They confessed and said, "Lord, we have sinned. We were wrong. And Lord, we're going to serve You only." What was different was their hearts. And it makes all the difference for you and me as well. That stone of help, of course, is also, I believe, representative of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our stone of help. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll see that He is the rock. We all know that He's the rock of our salvation. We're told in 1 Corinthians 3 how He is that foundation of our salvation. But also notice 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The Bible says, "And they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And then look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible tells us that the church is built upon a cornerstone. It says in our built, Ephesians 2:20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." Jesus is our stone of help. But we need to have that right relationship with God if we want that help in our lives on a daily basis. It falls on us. You know, Apostle Paul, if you go to 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul acknowledged this in his own life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 10. This is when he asked God to remove the thorn, remember, in his flesh. And he asked God three times. He finally explained to Paul he wasn't going to take it away because he needed it. But notice he said here in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Jesus is there. He's ready to help. He's ready to be that strength. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." The Bible says He is able to help those that are tempted in Hebrews 2. Jesus Christ is our stone of help. What does He want from us? Obedience. Obedience. Go to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll finish there this morning. 1 John chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. You want to know what the love of God is? God's going to define it for us. "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." That's pretty simple. People want it to be a lot of other things, but this is what it is. We express our love for God through our obedience. We can stand all day long and say, "I love Jesus," but if we're living disobediently, we do not love Jesus. We're just saying we do. God says love of God is obedience. We want the stone of help in our lives? Let's be obedient. Look what it did for Israel. And it'll be the same for us. God will be that Ebenezer, that stone of help. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word.